Amen. I'm going to read to you tonight from the book of James, chapter number 1. I was praying today and I felt it in my prayer time. I felt a tightness. And I can feel that same feeling in this building tonight. But I believe the Lord is going to help us. James chapter 1, very familiar scripture, where it said in verse 22, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." And may the Lord help me. I want to preach tonight on forgotten faces. Forgotten faces. Would you stretch your hands this way and ask the Lord to help us? Father, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our hands and give God the praise here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. I'm preaching to you tonight. The Lord will help me. On forgotten faces. It's a very familiar scripture. It has been preached from. The book of James has been dealt with time and time again by many preachers. We have talked about it. We have quoted it. This very subject, we have spoke about it concerning and dealing and counseling. When we look at men and women that has gone away from the truth, who has gone away from what's right and said, "You saw it at one time, but you don't see it no more." Come on here. I understand that this is a youth rally / camp meeting type atmosphere. But I want you to know that we didn't come here to beat on you. We come here to preach to you. We didn't come here to try to just see who can preach the most holiness, or who can take and deal with more issues. We come here to get somebody to remember who they are. One of the greatest faults among us is not that we have slipped into an error, that our people has literally, look around this house, has gone to cutting their hair, wearing makeup and jewelry, but it is the lost identity inside of our hearts of who we are and what we are. We live in a generation where men say it does not matter no more what you believe, how you believe it, as long as you believe in something. But the Word of God said it's not good for you to be one that's able to hear and that's able to talk about it, but it's one of you that's able to be a doer of the word, one that's able to remember what God said, and not only remember it, but to put it into action. When God said live it, it is for me to live it. When God said leave it alone, it's not for me to question, it's not for me to daydream about whether it's right or whether it's wrong. The problem with us is we have slipped into an error where we started questioning. We got a spirit about us to question the right, to question the will of God, and to question the purpose of God. But it is God's will that you and I be doers of the word. Stay with me. The will of God. It's not that He has given us just ears to hear, but that He has given us a body to be moved into what we have heard. I'm going to ease into this tonight. We got young people that's going to be in this meeting, that's going to shout in this meeting, and has shouted in this meeting. But the question of the matter is, when you leave this meeting, what are you going to do? I know it, and I know it's going to be a little tight here to get started, but hang on to your seat in a minute. God's going to help us. But I've seen it, I've heard it. I'm getting off the internet. I'm getting away from sin. I'm not wearing it no more. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to wear it. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to paint it up. But the question is, when you get to the house, are you going to forget the face that God showed you and who you are and what you really look like? I had a young man, looking at me tonight. Had a young man look at me and tell me, he said, "Preacher, you warned me and told me not to go that way. You told me I shouldn't have done it. I don't understand why I did it." I said, "I'll tell you why you did it. You forgot what you look like." Come on, preachers. In the height of the service, when the power of God's fallen and the Holy Ghost is moving, every one of us feels our need to jump up and say, "Hey, I'm going to tighten up a little bit. I'm going to be a little better." But can I ask you a question? When the lights of this meeting's out and everything is gone, what am I going to look like? How am I going to be? Am I going to be what God wants me to be? When I'm alone, when there ain't nobody around, am I going to still be holy? Tighten it up. Anybody, help me here, brother. Anybody can get convictions in a meeting, but it takes a real man and a real woman to live on conviction when there ain't no meeting.
Come on.
You service camp meetings, whatever you want to call it, anybody can get in this meeting and rub up next to each other and say, "Hey, I got convicted of wearing this. Come on now. I got convicted of it. I'm going to go home and stand up and tell everybody I ain't wearing that no more. I'm pulling it out. I ain't saving it for hard times. I'm chucking out of sin. I'm getting nearer to God than I've ever been in my life." But when you get alone, are you going to remember the face that God saw, that God was trying to get you to remember? "I'm convicting you, and this is the conviction that I want you to live by." Well, I know it's going to get tight. There's some folks got rid of their television. It's not because they were convicted, but because they didn't want nobody to talk about them. Well, I want to keep a good testimony among the brethren, so I'm going to just get rid of it for the sake of confidence. That lets me know you didn't have enough of God for God to convict you. Come on here. Don't tighten it down yet. Hear me well. When you loosen up to sin, you must reckon with the fact that there is other devils that follow that one devil. He does not travel alone. He'll drag your soul until you forget your identity, until you forget your face. Instead of being humble, instead of weeping, instead of crying, asking God, "Make me one what you want me to be. You'll forget who you are, and you won't care what anybody thinks. I'm feeling it tight right out here. Some of you in this building, understand this, was convicted last night of some things about the internet. But did you get rid of it because you was convicted, or did you get rid of it because you didn't want nobody to say nothing else to you? That's right. We got some people. That's okay. We got some people that they ain't going to cut their hair because they don't want nobody to think they're backslid. Hey, thank you for saying it. But they forget that the inward holiness is only an outward manifestation. I'm telling you, when you come on, look at me. I'm telling you, in this house, we're living in a generation that's forgot their face and forgot what they look like. They're so proud. They're so full of pride. They don't want nobody to say nothing to them. I'm telling you, sir, unless we get to remembering who we are and what we are, we're going to lose more than we ever thought about losing. I'm feeling my help here. We're not just losing girls and boys. We're going to start losing whole families. It's easy. Stand here. Whoa, howdy. Feel the Holy Ghost. Ten thousands around us. Say, I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to walk away from it. But the real test of conviction is when there is nobody to prop me up. When there's nobody there to uphold me. When there's nobody there to say, come on, I want you to help me preach just a minute. Why don't you pat me on the back while I'm preaching? When there ain't nobody else there to say, come on, you can make it. Come on, don't do that no more. Don't say that no more. Come on, get a hold of it. When the preacher ain't around, when mama ain't around, I'm here to tell you, we need to remember, I'm not just to hear it, I'm to live what I hear. About half of you going to jump ship on me right here. Some folks go on vacation not to see Gatlinburg. They go to watch TV. There ain't nobody there. Come on here. Ain't nobody in that motel room but you. Come on here. If you want to get tight, we'll just squeeze it down a little tighter. I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Ghost to preach this. If we're going to change this generation, we're going to have men, and we're going to have women that's going to live it, seen or unseen. That's going to be seen up higher. That's going to say, by the grace of God, the eyes of the Lord, they're upon me. He's watching me. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. The Lord's looking at me. I don't want to offend the grace of God. We have a camp meeting at our church. I made this statement on the first night of the meeting. Don't get offended. I said, sir, we don't watch TV. And I said, the man runs that motel knows we're not TV watchers. I said, so you that's got a habit of stealing, don't steal their remote. So I said, preacher, I ain't a thief. I don't like to be talking about it like that. Does everybody in here pay tithes? Oh, you ain't a thief, but you don't rob God, will you? Come on here. That's a little tight. That's all right. I said, sir, I said, that ain't my property. I ain't got nothing to do with it. I said, he's got them TVs in them rooms. I can't tell him to get them out for our meeting. I said, if you ain't got enough God to leave it alone, you need to pray through in this meeting. Get saved. Get full of the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me in this house? I feel the Lamb of God. We need men that's got convictions and not just have it in a meeting, but have it in their living. James said, not to be a here, not to be just a here, but a doer. When you get in that height of a moment, and you're feeling the Shekinah, and you're telling everybody else how to live, let's remember one thing, brothers. We got to walk that walk. We got to talk that talk. We got to lay out a pattern. Are you hearing me? In this house, you can blow up, get mad all you like. But remember one thing, Grandma. Your babies ain't ignorant. Your grandchildren ain't dumb. If you're compromising now, and you wouldn't have compromised yesterday, they know the difference. Our generation, this generation, the young people in this generation, I was praying today. Remember when we went through that era where they were calling this the Generation X? Then they started calling it another generation of something else. I was praying and the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, I'm calling it a forgotten generation. A generation that can talk about it. A generation that can look at it. Oh, come on here. If you push it, I can go with it. They don't want what Grandma had. They don't want what Grandpa had. But I'm here to tell you, it put food on the table. It kept sickness out of the house. It kept demons and devils away from our children. But you know what we're wanting? We're wanting an easy religion. My God, help me. Don't let me live a double standard. Don't let me be a man that has a mouth that can talk one way in church and live another way outside of the church. Ephraim, he is a cake not turned. That means, come on here. You don't mind getting scorched on one side, but you don't mess with my liberal side. When I'm among them, you tighten it down just like I like it. But when I'm with them, you don't turn my cake over. You leave my cake alone. You don't mess with what I've got making. I'm telling you why you don't want us to mess with it. It messes up your identity. Any man that has an identity of the world while showing the identity of the church is nothing but a hypocrite. We need men that are saved, that are dedicated, that's interested in being holy. I did it last year. I'm going to do it again. What's wrong with living like some of these older saints? What's wrong, young lady? Well, I'm in it. I might as well just mess up, if that's what you call it. Mess on up. Why do you want that seductive hairdo? Why do you want it? I'll tell you why you want it. When you was in the holiness meeting, you saw what you look like. Some of you boys, help me now. You get convicted, you'll get that little sissy gel out of your hair. But get out of the church and get back away from the preacher. You'll put it back in. Why is it? I'll tell you why it is. You forgot your face. Come on here. Stand me now. The image of this present world is a stink in the nostrils of God. Hello. I ain't going to get a lot of help right here. You ain't jumping at me like you was last night. I will say this, preacher, don't preach to me if you ain't going to make your boys and your girls line up to what you say you're preaching. Come on here. Don't tell me. I said, come on here. Don't tell me what holiness is when your daughter can't sit down decent for her dress coming up above her knee. Don't you tell me that you know what you're preaching. You're a blind man. It's in the pulpit. I said, you're a blind man in the pulpit. What's wrong? What's the matter? Mama's let them go for so long. Daddy's let them go for so long. We couldn't give them everything they wanted. So we gave them the Xbox. I was preaching. Don't you think for 1 minute that the Holy Ghost don't know what you're doing? Where's Isaac? He may not want to help me tonight. Come on out here. This is my nephew. I'm going to tell you something. He thought he was fooling the old preacher. One Sunday morning, I got up feeling about like I feel right now. Got wild, half crazy, sweat rolling down my face. Forgot who I was and what I was. And I just got to preaching. I whirled around. I said, you shouldn't have bought it. You shouldn't have put it on the counter. You was condemned when you laid it on the counter. You need to go back and get your money back. He looked at me. eyes got big. After church, he said, "Do you know what I bought?" I said, "Not altogether." I said, "But you bought something you shouldn't have bought." He shouted out, "How much?"
$200 and something.
$200 and something for something they call an Xbox. The only reason I know they call it an Xbox, because that's what he told me to call it. I'm telling you, they put in games where half-naked women are. Hear me in this house. I'm going to preach how I feel. The only reason this generation's slipping, she's slipping because she forgot what she looked like. When we stayed at the foot of the cross, we saw ourselves and we said, "God, I don't like me. I want to be different. I want to be changed. I want to be holy. I want to be righteous. I want to be God's man."
Come on.
You said, "I don't care what the cost is. I want to be God's man." Will you men help me stand right over there? I don't give nobody excuse for not being able to see it if they can't hear it. I went up to him. I said, "Son, I'm sorry. I know there's some of you in here that's probably got a higher education than your preacher. And you probably got a higher education than I do. That's quite all right. You can tell by my speech. You can tell exactly the way I'm talking. But you can't do anything better than what the Holy Ghost can talk about you." He may not have no teeth, but when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of him, he'll tell you where your teeth has been. Come on here. We slipped in a generation. They don't want what Sister Kathy's got. Look at these young girls. I know you think I'm out against you, but I'm not. I'm really for you. But I'm going to tell you something, after your beauty's gone and you grow up and have to live a real life, and you come out of that dream world, you're going to look for somebody to help you. I wished. Come here, Sister Kathy. Come here, sister. Right out here. Come here, sister. Right there. You two, come here. I'm just going to use a couple sisters right here. Is that all right with y'all? I mean, look at me, young ladies. I told my wife, it may sound comical, but I told her 20 years ago when I said I do, I said, "Baby," I said, "when our feet is turned up into crow's feet, and I said, we have to walk with the corns on the side of our feet. And I said, and if we have to sit on that porch and stare at each other and look at each other with no teeth in our mouth, and I'm well on my way. I'm telling you, I said, I intend to stay true to you, and I intend for you to stay true to me. And not only that, I intend for us to stay true to God. Are you hearing me? I feel a Joshua spirit. This generation's went to sleep because Daddy forgot to quote it. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We're going to be holy. Oh, sweet Lamb of God, we're going to look and dress like God. You know what I like about Joshua? When he quoted that, he didn't have to look over and ask, Miss Joshua, if it was okay, hey, some preachers in this building, God, stand by me, throw your shoe, whatever you want at me, but you hear me. There's some things you won't take a stand against because it's your children. If it was somebody else teaching our class, dyeing their hair, she wouldn't be in there come the next Sunday. Hang down now. If we knew she had a television, come on here. If we knew she had a television and she condoned going to the movies and condoned buying the movies, she wouldn't be teaching. But because it's our baby, it's my child, we lost our identity. We have shut our eyes and we become a hearer and not a doer. I'm going to get to y'all. My mom-in-law is our pianist in our church. And man, can she play the piano? Oh! If I can't get it going, I tell her, jump on it. Help me out of this one. Yeah. I told her, if you ever die, we're going to church Christ. All of you that go to my church and you play the piano, don't roll your lip out too far. Hear me. I told her one day, Brother Doug, I'm nothing. God knows that. I took each one of my musicians one by one, not openly, in my office. I said, do you agree with the teachings of this church? I feel the Holy Ghost. Hey, sir, if you're going to live by the Bible, you need to go back to the teachings of your church and remember where you got them from. And tell everybody in the board, tell everybody in the class, tell everybody on the instrument, either line up or get off. Say amen anyhow. I said our children are confused enough. Let's show them the right way. Let's show them the way of God. She looked at me and she said, I agree. I said, well, you're permitted to play the piano. As long as I'm here, as long as you abide in the teachings. His brothers have been to our church. They preached for us, sung for us. I know your name, but it's slipping me. Brother Tony Stidham. I'm telling you, I took my guitar player. He played in Nashville. He was Ernest Tubbs' guitar player. He can play that guitar. He came here one year. I mean, he can play it. He don't have the Holy Ghost. His daughter sits right there. His son's over there. And it don't make a hill of beans to me if everybody knows it. I said, you either abide by the teachings or you can't get on the platform. I'm telling somebody in this house, not only is our young people getting a call, our churches are getting a call. God's saying it's time to wake up and remember who you are. After that beauty's faded, after all the fancy duds are gone, after everything of the beauty of the glamour of it is gone, and you start having children that's lost, it's on their way to hell. But you know, if they don't get right, you're going to bury them and they're going to go to hell. You then lose your identity what the world's trying to impress on you. And you start saying, God, I don't want to be a hearer, but I want to be a doer. This is the host pastor and his wife. Step over to every side of her. I love these two people. I think the world of them. I believe there's a friend of mine who loves me. I believe Brother Bailey likes me. And his wife, I appreciate them a bunch. But I'm going to tell you, I remember coming here when your children weren't saved. And I remember the promise God made. Said, hold on. I'm going to start bringing them in. I'm going to start bringing them in. Come on here. Well, there sits one girl. There stand some boys. Are you hearing me? Are you understanding what I'm saying? You know what it was the payoff? I'll tell you what the payoff was. I didn't just hear it. I stayed walking it. You know why they're saved today? You know why their children saved? Daddy said no. It doesn't matter if you like it or not. It's no anyways. My God, help us. God, help us to toe the line and show our children this is the best way to live. John Wesley's mother wrote to him when he was in college. And she asked him, when he was in college, would you be judged for the lawfulness or for the unlawfulness of pleasure? If so, use this rule. Whatever weakens your reason impairs your tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sensitivity of God, or takes off the relish of spiritual things. Whatever increases the authority of your mind and your body being known to you, it is sin. Look at me. What are you doing that's making you happy? Come on here, wake up. What are you doing that's overriding the convicting power of the Holy Ghost? That's shutting it down in your mind. Come on, look at me. I ain't a fool. I didn't wake up yesterday. You listen to me. Hey, some of you, you're going to say, yeah, I agree with you about that internet. But you get home, and Daddy still got it in the house. Daddy and Mama ain't home. If you ain't got God and the Holy Ghost, you're going to go right back to what you was. Say amen anyhow. Really, these older saints, been around a long time. I know you're looking at it. And I know some of you, you're going to think I'm being mean and sarcastic. But your mirror is lying to you.
Come on.
You ain't going to look like you always look. Before you get too old, you may have a mole coming out right here. Right. Yeah. Go and get a good hearty look up here. You thought I got this way by just having to blow up a lot of air, didn't you? I was skinny one time in my life. There was one time I wore size 29 breeches. Yeah. Yeah, that's right, brother. Precious memory. I saw a picture of him today. Somebody asked me, he said, what happened? He'd been taking cobalt treatments. Yeah, he knows what I'm talking about. There was a time when he fixed it up and sprayed it just right for Tina. Yeah. Well, where's Sister Tina at? I'm helping you out, girl. I mean, hey, there was a time when you didn't look like you look now. But you come to realize to the fact, beauty's vain. It'll pass away. It don't take but one accident. And you're scarred forever. Are you hearing me? You better listen to me well tonight. You better listen to me, young girl. That's full of pride. You can't do nothing with you. You can't convict you. You can't tell you what to dress. How to dress it. I'm here to tell you, you better remember who you are and what you're going to be like. Or else God is going to show your future to you. I knew a young man. I quit. He couldn't hardly keep a girl. I want some of you girls to think you're role models. Think you're beauty queens. Don't you listen to me. One man said one time, beauty's only skin deep. You take the skin off, they look like everybody else. You hear me? He thought he was good looking. He didn't care who he hurt. He didn't care what he said. My wife knows this. But it took one accident. It's cut up his pretty little face. You ain't hearing me, are you? You ain't hearing me, are you, young lady? It took one accident to cut up his pretty little face. That's all it took. And he told me, laying on that hospital bed, he said, preacher, I've been looking at everything the wrong way. Now, every time he shaves, he's remembering a scar. Every time he combs his hair, I remember what that cost me. It's a high time that you wake up and you realize, I know it's a little tight right here, and I've been preaching a little bit, but it's high time we wake up and remember who we are. We are the best people that God ever made on the face of the earth. The Holiness Church. I didn't get very much help out of that. I said, we're the best people God's ever made on the face of this green earth. It's the Holiness people. Oh, go on, tell them I said it. Go on, throw your meanness at me all you like. But if I wasn't proud to be holiness, I'd get out. I'd get out. I'd quit making them miserable and me miserable. I'd get on out. But I'm happy to be a part of it. And that's why I'm a preaching like I'm preaching. Because I want you to stay where some of these women have stayed. I want when they get you and you get their age, there'll be another young preacher that'll come by and take another grandma by the hand and say, live it like this. Live it this way. Let our children know that holiness is right. Can anybody say amen? I said holiness is right. It ain't no more a question on whether it's right or wrong. It is right. I read a story one time, and I hurried to a close. I read a story. Man getting ready for work one day, Brother Doug, hollered down there. His wife was in the kitchen. cooking breakfast for. He went to work. And he said, "Baby," he said, "can you come up here and tell me if this shirt is clean enough to wear again?" She in turn hollered back at him. She said, "I don't need to come. If in doubt, it's dirty." What are you questioning? Look at me, young girl. What are you questioning? Did you go home? I won't get you mad at me, but I won't get you to understand me. What daddy in this house went home and told his wife? I don't altogether agree with what that preacher said about the internet. What about your child? Did they hear you say it, daddy? Boy, it's a serious indictment against us daddies. When they can see you blow up at holiness preaching.
Come on. Come on, preacher. Come on, preacher.
You make his job harder at convincing your children this way's right. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you one question. Can you run quickly through your mind and tell me right now, with a response inside of you, there's things I got in my house, preacher, that when I first got saved, I wouldn't have them. There's things right now that I have in my possession at one time I'd have never thought about touching it. I got these four ladies up here for one reason. And I'm going to say it to you right now. And I hate to even have to address this in a holiness meeting. But it's almost getting to where we're having to debate with you on whether living holy is right or wrong. We done got so bold that if it don't work out in our first marriage, help me pray I get a second one. My family, and I love them, and I'm hurrying to a close. My sister's getting remarried, and I wouldn't hurt her, but I sure ain't going to compromise for them. I'm not going to compromise for you. See, my brother-in-law, he knows I'm telling you the truth. I was in bed one night, woke straight up in the middle of the night, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "Tell her, don't marry that man." I went to her house. I sat down. My wife is a witness of this. I called her name. I said, "The Holy Ghost said for you not to marry that man." She looked at me and she told me, "I ain't marrying him. I don't love him." She lied to me. Right in the same breath, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and turned around. He said, "In 30 days, she'll be married to him." I called her name and I said, "The Holy Ghost said in 30 days, you'll be married to him." She said, "No, it won't. I'm telling you, 30 days from that day, she married him in her living room." But before that, the question was asked, "Can we use the church?" I said, "No. No, no, no. No. I mean, it's no. Oh, come on, don't tighten up on me now." I said, "No. No, sir." I said, "I've got a church choir, about 45 young people. And I said, I can't let them for 1 minute think for 1 second that I agree with what you're doing And I ain't about to open the doors and let it happen. I still believe every preacher has one wife. Say amen anyhow. I still believe every deacon has one wife. I still believe every Sunday school teacher has one wife, one husband. Say amen anyhow. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to dust off the mirror and get you to look at yourself and see where you're at. Oh, I feel kicked back. If you ain't guilty, why are you kicking? Why don't you stand with me? I suffered it, Brother Lord. I had phone calls. My sister's sitting right over here. I had phone calls. Folks called me out of my family. He said, if you're going to be that way, we won't never visit your church. I said, that's fine. You ain't got to. I said, but I am not changing one bit. I know it. I want all you young folks to listen to me. I love you. And not every one of God's preachers are hung up on the internet in pornography. And not every one of our preachers, of God's preachers, are womanizers either. We've lost some. I hate that. It kills me when I get a phone call and it tells of another preacher that went down. I got a call not long ago. I fell straight to my knees when I hung the receiver up. I fell straight to my knees and I began to scream, God, help me remember how frail I am. When you preach your brethren, I'm sorry, I hate to turn it to you, but when you don't fear falling, you're going to fall flat to your face. When you don't fear that you can mess up, you're going to mess up. I know I got it. I know I got it right where I feel like the Holy Ghost, and I don't say that mean or boastful, but I know I raised war with the devil this afternoon praying. I fought him in my prayer time. I felt him in this atmosphere while I was preaching. He didn't want me to say it. He didn't want your young people to hear it, but I'm here to thunder it out. Holiness is right. It will always be right. I want to say it, and I don't care how many devils it makes mad. You hear me in this house. If I quit preaching it, it'll still be right. It'll still be right. No matter how many turn their nose up and walk away from us. I told it last night in this church service. When I hit that internet and it tightened up about like it did tonight, I said, if I'm right, the Holy Ghost is going to vindicate us. Last night we didn't get out of here till almost midnight. Why? The Holy Ghost always backs up the truth. He always stands behind the truth. Brethren, I love you and I wouldn't hurt you for nothing. But our children don't need to hear messages preached when you can't have a hubcap on your car. And if you wear a silver belt buckle, you're worldly. If you wear a gold belt buckle, you're worldly. I mean, hey, if you feel that way, get you a can of flat black and take care of it. I don't worship my belt buckle. I ain't seen it in a while. Come on here. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Matter of fact, it's been probably 4 hours ago since I've seen it. Come on here. Old boy said he done got so big he had to ask his wife, do I got the same kind of shoes on? Well, I ain't hit that yet. I know you're going to think I'm mean, but I'm not. We done reached an era where we done put the levels and the premiums of sanctification on how it meets your approval instead of how it meets God's approval. Preached in a church where one lady stood up, and I know it's kind of comical, and I'm not meaning to be that way. Many years ago when I was an evangelist, she stood up and she said she won't thank God there wasn't nothing false about her. She didn't wear glasses. She ain't used a toothbrush in 30 years. Yeah. I'm telling it right, ain't I, baby? So where you been? Well, when you was an evangelist, you took anything you could get, anywhere you could go. Smile now. Had bills. I lived by the gospel. They opened the door. I walked in. I preached anyways, whether they took it or didn't take it. Well, she had the proof in the pudding. I mean, she could tell she didn't have a toothbrush because she didn't have nothing to work with a toothbrush. She didn't have no teeth. They were all gone. We dignify ourselves in our holiness that we can crown. But I feel the Holy Ghost if I've ever felt God to preach. I love you. But clean up the outside all you like. But if you still hate your neighbor, you forgot who you are. If you still hold all against your church over in the cross street because they're growing and you ain't. Can't go support another camp meeting because I'm afraid we're losing our church members to them. Don't go over there. They got a lot of young people, but they're worldly. Yeah. Stay where you're at and die. A jealous man in the pulpit will soon be the grave marker of his own church. But when you forget who you are, I love you. But when you forget who you are, you become so self-centered. Ain't nobody can talk to you. Ain't nobody convince you to what's right. Nobody can turn you. Come on, young folks, won't you look at this preacher? Not even in youth camp can we tell you your dress team's getting too high. And anybody ought to know you can't stuff a mattress in a pillowcase. Yeah. That's right.
Hallelujah.
I won't say it again. Is that what you want to know? I mean, hey, if you got the Holy Ghost as much as you shouted across here, your wardrobe's going to change. You're going to go home and say, hey, I can't wear that no more. Come on here. About the only time some folks wear decent clothes is if they're expecting. Because they know they don't want mama to look like a floozy. Come on here. Don't get mad. Get glad. Really, to be honest with you, I know it's tight, but why are you wearing it like that? You forgot to remember who you was? And you've allowed the devil make a counterfeit out of you. I can hear a whole lot of folks in here tonight saying amen. But while I was praying today, how many's going to go home and be different? Come on, I love you. I wouldn't hurt you for nothing. I've got a burden for this meeting. My soul's been troubled. I don't mind telling you. I want them to come. Give me a song, brother. Hear me. You listen to me. When I rode down that mountain, I remembered my wife, my family. I thought, and I'm not lying to you. I thought I'd never see them again. And right behind that, it rolled in my mind, you won't be able to go to Flatwoods this year. Your face is cut up. Brother Kendall picked me up from the airport. My eye was swollen to where I couldn't see. My arm was in a cast. Stitches all across my forehead. Bruises all over my body. I don't mind saying this. I don't want to say nothing wrong. The first night I was home, my wife, I couldn't move. I was so stoved up, Brother Doug. She had to undress me. Had to lay me in the bed. I couldn't move. She looked at my body and it was so bruised. She said, baby, you're so bruised up. But I was so happy to be alive. And then when the question came, folks started calling my house and saying, you going to Flatwoods this year? I told some, I said, I don't believe I'm going to be able to. My body's so stoved, I don't know if I can move. But I'm so glad I'm here because I love you and I want you young people to make it to heaven. I'm not against you, but when you get grown in life, you're going to remember this preacher who says don't forget your face, because that's the face God's trying to convict, God's trying to deal with. God's trying to tell you if it looks tarnished, leave it alone. If it's questionable, walk away from it. Don't mess with it. I don't mind telling you, my soul's troubled tonight. And I've been preaching an hour here. And I don't mean to hold you that long. I purposed in my heart not to do it. But my burden's overwhelmed me. But I'm saying, in my church, your church, let's drop the statistics of our falling. Let's pick up some statistics of our rising. Let's leave this meeting with a new face. Let's leave this meeting, preachers, with a new conviction. Go home and tell that young girl, you can't live like that and take part. I love you, but I've got to shine the light. I got to let everybody else know that sin cannot live where the presence of God is living. Amen. I know it. I feel it. I feel it in my soul. I feel you throwing it at me. But I'm telling you, if you scarred up your life, don't blame it on me, because I'm preaching what's right. If you messed yourself up, don't you go throwing off at me and getting mad at me. I had nothing to do with it. And when you can do that, that shows how far you have slipped away from God. But the Lord's here to deal with you. We may not shout tonight like we have every other night. But I want all of you young folks to look at me. You search your heart. Is there anything I got in my life that I know I need to get rid of? I knew when I first got the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't have dressed like this. I wouldn't have lived this way. I wouldn't have questioned this at all. But because I've loosened up, slid back, I've allowed things to get out of hand. But I tell you, when I come to this church, Sister Cordell, and that husband laid a corpse. I don't want to bring no bad memories. I'm not trying. When I first came here, I remember him smacking me on my face and said, "Boy, I like it the way you preach it." But my last time here with him, he shook my hand. He said, "It seems like I ought to know you, but I can't remember who you are." Oh, it gripped me. I stood right there, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, "I'm taking him home in just a little while." That's when I raised Brother Randy. I leaned over there and I said, "You're going to need strength. Your family's going to need strength. God is fixing to take him home. Hear me? I love you. I wouldn't hurt you. But if I live true, I'm going to make it to heaven one day. And he's going to remember me. And I'm going to remember him. And he's going to shake my hand and say, 'I remember you, boy. I may have forgot you down yonder, but I remember you up here.'" Come on here. I feel like telling us in this house, heaven's going to be worth the journey if you'll stay true to God. If you'll stay true to God. I want you to bow your heads with me all over this house. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for your mercy. I ask for your love and your compassion. I ask for your spirit to help me now. I know where I stand is a weighty place. And I know that when judgment comes, I'm going to give an account for everything I've said here tonight. I pray, Lord, that every word that I spoke would fly like an arrow into the hearts of men. And that it would pierce us, oh God, until we can remember our identity of what you called us out to be, a separate people, separated from this world. I pray, Lord, that you touch the hearts of our young people. I pray that you touch the hearts of our elders. I pray that you'll captivate this whole entire congregation and reignite our convictions with our hearts again. And we'll give you the praise for what you're able to do in Christ's name. I'm not going to give an altar call tonight like I normally do. I'm going to do something I feel a little different. I'm going to ask for every camper in this camp to come up across this front. Girls on this side, I want you to pile in deep. And I want the boys on this side to stand. I want you to come. If you're too big, you're too prideful, I can't make you come. But I'm not asking you to come to identify with anything. You know what you need to identify with. You know what's in your heart. You know what's in your life. Right here. I want this pulpit to be a center point. I want some of you ladies, come on, spread out right in here. Some of you young men, come on, ease up out of them corners. Come over this way. Come on, come over this way. Help me out here. Come on up in this center aisle. Come on right back in here. Come on. Heather, some of y'all come right on around this way. Pour them out. Come on around this way. I'm not going to move no further till we get them out. Come on, if you're too big, I'm sorry. Our counselors, leaders in this camp, you need to be up here. I believe we've got to go back. Don't you? I believe there's some things we need to go back. We need to pick up and say, hey, I've dropped it, but I'm going to pick it back up and I'm going to go back to living it like I need to live it. Are you hearing me? My soul's been troubled today because it's easy to make vows and commitments right here. This is the most important part to me right here. It's easy for you to look at me and say, hey, preacher, I will.